My BlackBerry new went out on me. So I had
all that.
Larry Scott, you're done for. He's calling you.
We're live. We're live here. Okay. Okay, we ready to go? I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Is it up? Are we ready? Call the meeting to order. I'd like the clerk call the roll, please. Commissioners?
Commissioner Shajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here. Before I go into...
We do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Ben is here, too.
Barely doesn't count. okay, we're going to, before we announce today's procedures and the changes, Sarah, you're picking up on me. Before we announce today's procedures and the changes to today's agenda, Commissioner Kajian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to take a moment and thank all the planning staff that help us man the outside desk and information tables. And if I, as I read your name, please raise your hand. And after that, I would like to invite Mr. Hollanda, the department head for the planning department, to say a couple of words, if I may, Mr. Chair. Okay, we as Michael Conger, raise your hand. Carrie Brown, Stephanie Fuse, Sue Collado, James Caruso, Arlene Singwald, Ted Bench, Paul Sidik, Nick Forrester, Morgan Terrell, Bobby Joe Close, Elizabeth Cavanaugh, and Nancy Orton. And this is the army we had to help us get the people in and out. And at this time, I would like to ask Mr. Hollanda to say a couple of words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. Okay.
That might take a while.
I know. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, good morning. I am Dick Hollanda, the director of the Planning and Building Department. And even though you're leaving today, welcome again back to San Luis Obispo. It's always great to see familiar faces, having served on this august body from 93 to 99. And I understand and recognize the challenges that all of you face, especially the staff, and I want to extend a heartfelt gratitude and thank you to Peter Douglas and Dr. Lester for working with our staff on all the projects that we have submitted to the Coastal Commission. We really appreciate their efforts. Again, thank you for coming to San Luis Obispo, and if there's anything else we can do to make your stay more pleasant, let us know, and hopefully you'll come back next year. As far as wisdom, Mr. Kruer, you have a great crew.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your kind words, and the commission, the staff, and we will be back next year. And we'd have somebody pick us up in a trolley in another city and bring us here, you know. So Commissioner Kajian's done a great job, and we really appreciate all the help of all the volunteers and everyone's effort, and the welcome is really appreciated. And it's always good to see you, Vic. So. Nice to have you back. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All set? Commissioner Kajian, is that fine?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Kajian
for
the incredible job he did. And not only was he an incredibly gracious host, but he was one of the world's best daredevil trolley drivers I've ever seen, and in a vehicle that... I couldn't even believe moved down the highway under its own power. But he was just incredibly gracious to us all, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all for giving me that opportunity.
Thank you. And everybody joins Commissioner Blank with his comments. We agree. So with that, we'll go to staff and go over today's changes to the agenda and the procedures.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe the only changes are on the North Coast agenda, Item 9A, JHP, has been postponed, and that's a casualty of staff cuts. And, you know, this, I ran into this fellow in Crescent City last week, and he was not a happy camper. This project's been pending for quite some time, and I explained to him that we lost another staff member up there, and we just couldn't process it for this meeting, so we'll try to get it on for the next meeting. And then we're moving items 9B and C, and there's another item,
to 10A.
The consent calendar, and 10A to the consent. The only change there is moving 9C, the Wiat Tribe project, to the consent calendar as well, although I will have one issue to discuss there. I think that's it for changes.
I think that's it for...
Okay.
What was it on 10A?
10A will move to consent.
Move to consent calendar.
And I'll be doing the North Coast items because I told Bob not to come down here and save the travel expense.
Okay.
Relative to folks in the audience who want to address the commission, please fill out the speaker slip. If you want to talk on an issue, an item that's on the agenda, there are, slips are on the table outside. And turn off your cell phones, please. They interfere with the webcast of the commission's proceedings. And other than that, I think we're ready to go. Mark
Delaplane
will present the first item.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Commissioners. Before we get to the public hearing item on the Pacifica matter, we've presented our monthly negative determinations report. If there are any commissioner comments, this would be a good time to...
Any objection to the negative determinations issued by the executive director? Hearing none, the commission approves.
Right, and I have asked Mr. Delaplane to attend the Department of Commerce hearing on the toll road matter so that he'll be able to absorb the comments, and if there's a need to respond in the 10-day response period, that he'll be able to do so on behalf of the commission. So Mark will be there.
Thank you. The next matter, I'm going to have Christina Cairns from our Energy, Ocean Resources, and Federal Consistency Unit give the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Get this adjusted. My name is Christina Cairns. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And I will be presenting CDP application E-07011 for a proposed biodiesel production facility in the city of Pacifica. Staff is recommending approval of the project with conditions. The project applicant, Whole Energy Fuels Corporation, do we have the PowerPoint? There we go. Next slide, please. Okay, thank you. The project applicant, Whole Energy Fuels Corporation, is proposing to install a biodiesel production facility on site at the Calera Creek Wastewater Recycling Plant, shown in red, located between Highway 1, thank you, and the quarry near Maury Point in Pacifica. The facility in the blue circle will convert waste vegetable oil collected from various restaurants around San Mateo County into a biodiesel product for commercial and personal vehicles. The facility will be located across Highway 1 from the Valamar neighborhood and approximately 1/4 mile from Valamar School, shown by the green triangle. The proposed biodiesel facility, next slide, will be self-contained within a prefabricated warehouse housing the treatment process and storage tanks and placed atop an existing concrete pad that was permitted and built for a temporary storage warehouse for the existing wastewater treatment plant but was never installed. A boiler and a cogenerator to provide heat energy for the processing will be located within the new building. The biodiesel facility will be integrated with the wastewater treatment plant, sending wastewater and air emissions to the plant to be treated and using its tertiary water in the production process. Air emissions will be captured within the equipment and sent through the feedstock oil tank to be scrubbed, which is expected to remove approximately 99% of the particulate matter and volatile organic compounds that may be produced by the biodiesel process. Remaining emissions at the top of the feedstock tank will be blown through an underground duct into the wastewater treatment plant's existing soil scrubbers. Wastewater will be transferred through an underground pipe to the wastewater treatment plant to be filtered and treated, and following treatment, the wastewater will outfall into Calera Creek and adjacent wetlands as it currently does. While the project will be fully contained within an industrial site, environmentally sensitive habitat areas, or ESHA, exist adjacent to the site. They are comprised of the wetlands along Calera Creek, here outlined in red. California red-legged frogs have been observed in growing numbers in and around Calera Creek and throughout the riparian areas adjacent to the wastewater treatment plant. The frogs are listed as a federally threatened species. San Francisco garter snakes are state and federally endangered species, and they have also been observed within the nearby Golden Gate National Recreation Area at Morey Point. The project will not fill or otherwise disturb wetland areas. However, to prevent impacts to sensitive species who may enter into the project site, Whole Energy has proposed to extend an existing 4-foot-high plywood border northward along the fence east of the site to keep frogs and snakes from entering. Special Condition 11 of the staff report also requires that a biological monitor be on site at all times during construction to observe for and relocate any animals that may enter the project site. The monitor will be given the authority to halt construction if necessary. Other potential impacts to ESHA may stem from a biodiesel or a chemical spill into the wetlands or Calera Creek. However, the potential for these impacts will be minimized through the use of extensive spill prevention and containment measures that were designed with input from Commission staff, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the San Mateo County Hazardous Materials Program. Certain hazardous chemicals will be used in the biodiesel production process, including sulfuric acid, methanol, and sodium or potassium methylate. As these hazardous chemicals can be volatile, the applicant has included several spill containment and leak detection measures to prevent accidental releases. These spill prevention and containment measures often include installation of leak detection systems and alarms on all equipment and the biodiesel warehouse, as well as double containment tanks, pipes, and catchment basins and berms around the facility, shown in regions 2, 4, and 5 above. Additionally, Whole Energy has agreed to use multiple bladder delivery trucks that provide an additional layer of protection against spills once production at the facility reaches 2 million gallons per year. These spill design measures have been deemed adequate by staff. The Pacifica Police Department has also created a final response plan for the biodiesel facility and would be able to respond to an event at the site within 1 to 2 minutes, as the nearest station is located across Highway 1. The fire department also has 2 stations, each within 3 to 5 minutes travel time of the site. The proposed facility will not adversely affect public views of the coast. The warehouse will be the same height and painted the same color as the wastewater treatment plant to fit in with the industrial character of the site. There is an existing 20-foot-high vegetated berm located to the east of the proposed biodiesel facility that already blocks views of the site to southbound drivers on Highway 1 and neighbors on the flat side on the east side of the highway. Some neighbors at higher elevations will be able to see the facility. However, it will not block or adversely affect their view of the coast. Hikers and recreationalists at Morey Point will also be able to view the facility from higher elevations, such as in this simulation here. However, the biodiesel facility will not block or adversely affect their views of the coast. The proposed facility will also not adversely affect public access to the coast. A dedicated parking lot for the Calera Creek recreational area currently exists south of this site to provide public access to the coast. The proposed facility will not block or prohibit the use of this lot or the parkway, as it will be located in a, as the facility will be located in a separate area and enclosed behind a fence. Traffic from the proposed project is not expected to prevent use of the recreation area or decrease the level of service at Highway 1. Staff therefore believes the proposed project is consistent with the relevant sections of the Coastal Act and recommends conditional approval according to the conditions listed on page 4-8 of the staff report. Staff has also received several comment letters since the publication of the staff report consisting of concerns about public safety, traffic, disposal of waste glycerin, setting a precedence for future development of the quarry area, the need for a biodiesel production facility in Pacifica, the city's alleged predetermination of the project, and liability of the commission and the city for the facility. Most of these concerns, including safety, the need for the proposed project, and the project's predetermination are issues for the city of Pacifica, and I expect they will be addressed by the city and its police and fire departments today. Other concerns, such as the precedent-setting potential of this project, are already addressed in the staff report. In terms of glycerin disposal, staff has added a condition to the permit located in the addendum addressing the sale and disposal of waste glycerin. Staff received two more letters from law firms representing the City of Pacifica and the adjacent quarry owner. Their comments pertain to corrections in the staff report regarding biological findings and are addressed by staff in the addendum. The applicant has also illuminated some changes to the project description following publication of the report. These changes are also reflected in the addendum to the staff report. This concludes staff's presentation.
And I'd just like to mention two things. One is about the coastal zone boundary in this area. Just for your information, the coastal zone boundary is the inland extent of the right-of-way of Highway 1. And then in terms of alternatives, we've put in the staff report discussion about alternative sites, alternative locations. It's our belief that there aren't feasible alternatives, that this project and its co-location with the wastewater treatment plant is the only real feasible site in the city of Pacifica, and we believe that the no project alternative does not meet the project objectives and with the conditions that are recommended would not result in any residual significant impacts. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any ex-parties starting on my left? Commissioner Blank?
I spoke to Lenny Roberts of the San Mateo Orca Group, and Lenny said she personally didn't have an opinion, but she believed the local environmental community was supportive of the plant.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Blank. Anyone else? Okay, if not, we'll open the public hearing, and typically at this time we'd call on the applicant first, but they're not here, so we'll go right down the list.
Yes, we are.
Are you here?
Where's your paperwork?
Where's your paperwork then?
I know we're supposed to return anything.
Okay. Maybe that's why you got excited there, you know. Yeah, you can do it afterwards. That's fine, sir.
Okay.
What's your name? State your name for the record, and how much time are you requesting?
We were hoping 15 minutes, if that's possible. We'll try to keep it shorter than that.
You want to save a few minutes of that 15 for rebuttal?
Absolutely. I had a question. We were going to do a presentation. I know you opened it up for public comments after that. Do we have a chance after comments to respond?
Oh, no. Here's the way it goes. Okay. You have a chance to respond after people from the public, yes, testify.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you do for okay. that. And but you, what I'm asking you is if you want to reserve a few minutes for rebuttal time.
I need to reserve that then.
Okay, so why don't you take 12 minutes and we'll give you 3 minutes for rebuttal. Is that fair?
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you. Yes. And again, you state your name for the record again, sir?
I will. My name is Jim Vreeland. I'm the mayor of Pacifica. I've been an elected official in San Mateo County for 10 years, and this is my third time as being mayor. This is my first time presenting to the Coastal Commission. And so really, first I want to say how much in awe I am of you and the protection you give to the coast, because as someone who is a steward of 4 miles of coastal California from San Francisco to San Mateo County, it really is great the work that you guys do, and the work that your staff did on this project was, I think, extraordinary. So I want to thank them for their work and thank you for the opportunity to present to the California Coastal Commission this morning. So
I think you ought to give them another 10 minutes.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's really, we've worked with you, the City of Pacifica has worked with you on a lot of different projects, and it's always been an honor. So this is one we'd like to talk about today. And is this for the slides? Did you put our? Okay. Can you go to
can
the
I
first?
Just make one clarification
yes,
point? The city is not the applicant. The city was invited to join as a co-applicant,
okay,
but Whole Energy is the just
is the applicant.
Is the applicant.
And I'll,
okay.
Then the reason why Whole Energy is here because the city went through a request for proposals to get a private sector developer to come in and develop this project. So, for
let me
us,
ask a question and clarification.
Yes,
if you're not the applicant, you're not necessarily entitled to 15 minutes. So please help me, Mr. Delaplane. What are we doing here? I thought they were the part of the applicant. Are you co-applicant with Whole Foods?
No, I don't believe they are. Understanding the situation now, my suggestion would be that you ask the applicant to make the presentation first and then give the mayor whatever time.
But the mayor came up,
Okay.
Are you representing the applicant?
If you want the CEO to come up, we can do that.
Guys.
That's totally fine. What I'm here to do is to put it in context of why this is the city went out and brought this project to our city.
So is the applicant here? Okay. So you're okay with this, and this is, you'd be entitled to 15 minutes, 3 minutes of rebuttal, 12 minutes here, so you don't mind if the mayor speaks. Come on up to the microphone. We just want to get it straight because this
sure,
is not
certainly.
Typical.
I appreciate your wanting to clarify. We'd prefer 20 minutes with 5 minutes for rebuttal if that's okay.
Look,
okay.
We're going in reverse here. Don't listen to Mr. Douglas when he wants to give away more time.
Okay. I appreciate that, Mr. Douglas. Well, there I am. I'm on the...
Okay. Let me ask one last question
yes,
here because this is, again... you're going to take 12 minutes between you and the applicant, the combined presentation.
Yes, sir. Probably
okay.
10.
Okay. How much of the 12 minutes? See, I'm trying to help Commissioner Juan here so we can do the clock here. So how much of the 12 minutes are you going to take?
I'm going to take 4 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to be very quick if I can just get started and we can. And
well,
then
we can,
Yes.
We thought you were the applicant first. That's what we asked. Come on.
Sorry about the confusion, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Again, my name is Jim Vreeland. I'm the mayor of Pacifica. This is my third term as mayor. If we can go to the next slide, please. Oh. Okay. The city of Pacifica is it came to Whole Energy and put out a request for proposal for a biodiesel production facility by a wastewater treatment plant because we are working to reduce the energy costs associated with the operations of the plant. And so, in our mind, 10 years or 20 years ago when facilities were going and just doing primary treatment and that was all sewage treatment plants did, that was fine. What we've done with our sewage treatment plant and why Whole Energy is an important part of that project is that we've put a sewage treatment plant together that treats it to tertiary standards, that empties into a wetland before it goes into the ocean, that has a trail that's a recreational component for access to the California coast. We buried the treatment plant. We put $2 million of solar voltaics on top of the treatment plant. Our next goal was to look at other ways to reduce energy costs and operations of the plant. Biodiesel is an opportunity to do that. And so we, 3 years ago, went through the process of looking at how could we encourage the private sector to invest in our town to do this. We put together a series of procedural steps. Whole Energy went to the California Air Resources Board with the total support of the city of Pacifica and received a $620,000 grant from the California Air Resources Board for this project. So we have over $600,000 of public money being invested in our community, and Whole Energy is talking about bringing $1.5 million or more to build the facility. The facility itself is only 4,000 square feet, constructed on an existing 4,000 square foot concrete pad in the industrial area, as your staff mentioned, next to our sewage treatment plant. What we hope to do is pull fat, oil, and grease out of the waste stream, in addition to collecting it through a variety of places in San Mateo County, and turn that waste oil into biodiesel to run in our generators. And we think with our filtration system that we've created and taking the exhaust through that filtration system, we can address the problems the state has with the potential increase of NOx with the burning of biodiesel. We think, like cities years ago went to secondary treatment and tertiary treatment, when cities put projects together for sewage treatment plants, they're going to look at putting a tertiary plant with solar voltaics and biodiesel. Our solar system in foggy Pacific has reduced our energy costs close to 15% sometimes. We think with this biodiesel production facility during peak events where we can pull off the grid when it's 100 degrees in the Central Valley and use biodiesel and solar, we can save another 3 to 5%. So we're putting together these environmentally sensitive energy alternatives to reduce the actual operation of our plant. We think this is so exciting that we're looking at putting a partnership together. When cities do this, they're going to do it in package. They're going to look for these type of elements. As it says right there, we've reclaimed wetlands. We're treating the water to tertiary treatment standards. And we think that this project specifically will help the city meet two legislative goals. One is further compliance with AB 939 and waste diversion requirements. And secondly is AB 32 and the reduction of our carbon footprint. We're putting these projects together to do this. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's why I spoke first, because I wanted to put in context why the city is here. The city put out a request for proposals. The city is pushing this project. Whole Energy is the applicant, but the city is the one that is really thrilled about the opportunity to move forward. So I'd like to turn this over to Atul, who is the CEO of Whole Energy, the project proponent or the project applicant, and a real partner with the City of Pacifica.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Otherwise, I'll be brief. Otherwise, Jordan won't have a time to tell you anything about our project.
Got 8 minutes.
I got 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And my name is Atul Deshmane. I'm president of Whole Energy, and I'm delighted to be here and see all of you. For us, this is another important step towards a process of making distributed local biofuels production a reality. We believe that it's probably one of the few sustainable pathways to be able to grow the biofuels industry, because our feedstock is coming local, our customers are local. But one of the things that's a challenge when you do things small and in the community is making things work in terms of cost. We all know where our big energy is and big agriculture is. It's always scale. So one of the ways we achieve competitiveness and meaningfulness in that world is to co-locate. So that's why working closely with regional with communities is so important, so we can benefit from co-location. And that's why it also makes this project so exciting in terms of energy efficiency, which the mayor referred to, and so exciting in terms of community overall benefit. So with that, I'd like to close with one final comment, and that working in California, you all know, is a unique opportunity. And what I see it as the opportunity is to work in an environment which is one of the most discerning that we have in the world. And for me, I'm excited about that, because I'm hoping that what we learn out of this process by working with you, by working with the great staff at the Coastal Commission, we've had a wonderful time. We're going to continue to hone our capability and develop our own corporate practices that I think are going to be an example for how corporate America works with communities. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to be brief because we're running out of time here.
Right.
My name is Joran Mahman. I'm an engineer with Whole Energy. And I'm going to give you a brief technical overview of the plant. So let's get started. As has already been mentioned, the plant is 4,000 square feet and will be located within the parking lot of the water recycling plant. The purpose of the plant is to recycle used cooking oil into biodiesel. We'll be using only reclaimed water from the recycling plant effluent. We're going to be using no fresh water for this process. We're going to be capturing heat from our boiler and our generator that's going to be used in the process. And all the emissions are going to be scrubbed once through our oil filter and a second time through a bioscrubber that's currently in place at the water treatment plant. Basically, the process of making biodiesel includes, you mix oil with methanol and a small amount of catalyst, which in our case is potassium methylate. And you allow it to react for at least 1 hour, usually 2 hours. And after that, you allow it to settle. And the glycerin falls out due to its higher density, and the biodiesel floats to the top. At this point, the two streams are separated, and each goes to its own polishing process. The biodiesel has the excess methanol evaporated out of it and captured for reuse. In order to get the salts out of the biodiesel, the remaining catalyst out of the biodiesel, we mix it with the water effluent from the water recycling plant, which absorbs the salts. And then finally, the water that's dissolved in the biodiesel is evaporated, and the biodiesel is ready to be sold. The glycerin basically goes through the same process, and we evaporate the methanol, neutralize the catalyst, and remove any solid salts, and the glycerin is ready to be sold after that. Basically, the plant doesn't involve any very complex equipment. It's basically a series of pumps connected to vessels through heat exchangers. We need a boiler to provide the heat. We need a generator to provide electricity and also some heat, and monitoring equipment that will be attached to a processing unit that allows us to control valves and pumps and so on. The safety precautions that we've taken involve many things, but in particular, the entire system is entirely enclosed. There are no open tanks. There are no vapors that are going to be released anywhere. The methanol is double contained, so in case there is a rupture of the tank, the methanol will be captured within the secondary containment. We have a 6,000 cubic foot per minute blower that's going to draw air out of the building, which won't allow any gases to build up in the building. We're going to have gas, smoke detectors, and also leak detectors within the secondary containment of the methanol that will allow us to contain any leaks. A sprinkler system that will meet fire code, and a coordinated response plan with the water recycling plant, the fire department, and the police department. So the site is fully contained, as Christina has already mentioned, that the building itself can hold up to 14,400 gallons in the event of a spill, which is more than 20% larger than our largest tank. Should two tanks rupture at the same time, it'll overflow into the truck loading area, which can handle almost 11,000 gallons. And should both of those areas overflow, it goes into the parking lot, which is above a sump, which can hold actually the entire contents of the plant. So in the event that all of our tanks simultaneously rupture, it will actually still be fully contained. There's been some question as to whether or not odors will be an issue, and in short, the answer is no, because the used cooking oil is collected off-site and brought into the plant one truckload at a time in a fully enclosed transfer. The process is fully enclosed, as I've already said, and the exhaust and ventilation gases are scrubbed. There's going to be minimum traffic impact due to the small number of employees and the small number of trucks coming in and out. Spill management is not going to be an issue, as I've already mentioned. And the visual impact, as Christina already spoke about, is going to be minimal. And here's a different view. If you look at where the trucks are parked, sort of towards the left of the center of the picture, that's where the plant is going to be going, and it's going to look something like this. And that concludes my technical overview.
Thank you. And would all you gentlemen make sure you fill out a speaker slip if you haven't. Okay, appreciate it. Okay, is there anyone else in the remaining time they have from the city of Pacifica or the applicant?
And that's for our rebuttal, that
150. No. Okay. We'll give you, why don't you wait for your rebuttal time unless you don't. Okay, fine. Sure.
I just want to mention, I know there's some folks in the back who have been opposed to this project consistently through the...
Your name for the record?
My name is Jim Vreeland. I'm the mayor of Pacifica. There are some issues that have been brought up, and there's some folks that you're going to hear from who have been opposed to this project throughout, and that's part of the process. Also part of the process is for us to look at those issues, and one of the issues was safety. And so I had a chance to sit down with our police chief yesterday and one of our captains and talked about safety. And they have no concerns about this facility and its location. Its location a quarter of a mile from Valimar School. There is a gas station on the east side of Highway 1 that's closer to the school that they have more of a concerns over. And there's also a tank next to behind that they have more concerns over. And so this facility is separated by California Highway 1, and then it has a gas station, and then another facility, and then the police station, and then the school. And so the police and the fire have fully vetted this, have no concerns, and I've asked them to do a tabletop exercise next to another school to make sure that they fully exercise the communication capabilities between the school district and the city. And so we're totally working on this project. So from a safety standpoint, our public safety folks have no concerns about this issue. And I just wanted to clarify that because you may hear those concerns, and we have fully vetted that with all of our professionals. So I just wanted to add that for the record.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Mike Bell, and then Frank Vella.
You'll each get 3 minutes.
My name is Mike Bell. I'll be referring to this map that each of you have in your in front of you. I'm a lifelong resident of Pacifica and a Parks, Beach, and Recreation Commissioner. I would like to thank the staff for their report on this proposal to build a fuel refinery in the coastal zone. The attention you've given to the protection of red-legged frogs and other wildlife species is appreciated. I am here to hopefully influence you to increase the priority given to the safety of the human beings who also live in this area. In front of you is a labeled map, which was missing from the report. It shows the dangerously close proximity of this fuel refinery to vulnerable human populations, essential disaster remediation centers, and the only transportation route in or out of the area for tens of thousands of people. It is important to note that Highway 1 has an impenetrable 2-mile-long concrete barrier dividing dividing north and southbound traffic. The only opening for evacuation, emergency vehicles, or panicked parents trying to retrieve their kids occurs in the exact same intersection through which hundreds of fuel and hazardous chemical-laden trucks are making their daily deliveries. If there were a truck accident and spill at this intersection, it would effectively cut Pacifica and indeed the San Mateo County coastline in two. The prevailing winds are westerly. If there was a hazardous chemical explosion, which is possible, or an accidental release of deadly methanol gas or sulfuric acid, the toxic cloud would travel over the police station, the school district headquarters, a grammar school, a preschool child care center, a grocery store, several businesses and restaurants, and a whole neighborhood in a matter of minutes. The grammar school children right now are already routinely required to shelter in place in order to escape the putrid smells blowing over from the sewage treatment plant. What is most alarming about this location is that the neighborhood receiving the toxic cloud is in a box canyon, and there's no other way out of it. I appreciate the work that the Coastal Commission does in protecting our natural environment, but this is an appeal to your concern for human beings. There are far too many unknowns and safety risks in this project. The preliminary emergency evacuation plan that the mayor referenced is untested and generic at best. Unfortunately, our city council is pushing this project through because they are in a financial bind. I represent many citizens who are counting on you to do the prudent thing and at least require the applicant to conduct a full and current EIR to make this as safe a project as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Frank Vella, and then I turn to Mr. Stetchbart, I believe. I'm having trouble reading. Mr. Vella, 3 minutes.
Hello. Thank you for having us here today. Frank Vella, native resident of Pacifica. The idea of a refinery in this location is absolutely the wrong thing to do for a minimum of three reasons. Wastewater treatment plant, or the wastewater treatment plant, has not worked properly since its inception. The city of Pacifica cannot afford this plant, and the coastal location is totally wrong for industrial use. The one-of-a-kind wastewater treatment plant has not worked properly since it went operational in 2001. The contractor who built the plant no longer exists, and parts need to be special ordered and custom made. The smell of the area affects businesses and residents alike. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has fined the facility approximately $400,000 for violating its discharge permit limits over 137 times. The latest spills were twice in January of this year, of 7.5 million gallons of partially treated sewage. The proponents of this plan stated that the emissions from the refinery will be cleaned by the use of the plant's scrubber devices. There have been numerous past problems with these devices, making this plan very questionable. Sewage fees for citizens have gone up 200% in the last 5 years and are expected to go up another 3 to 5% each year for the next 5 years. Most of this is just to pay for outstanding debt on the sewage treatment plant. In the event that this refinery or wastewater treatment plant needs further work, the city does not have the money and the area will be at risk. The lease agreement and the contract with Whole Energy Fuels Corporation and the city of Pacifica has a tenant saying their own price of rent. This so-called lease agreement provides very little back to the city of Pacifica, who will definitely be held responsible for further costs. This refinery will be in competition for its fuel supply with 7 other refineries in the immediate area. Staff report also states that local fueling stations can sell the biofuel. I spoke with the owner of one of the named stations who stated he told our city officials that he could not sell that product due to franchise agreements and overall quality control. Third reason, a coastal location makes this an inappropriate use. Too much unknowns are involved. The applicant has never built a plant like this, nor have they built a plant at all. There's too much at risk to the areas. Why does an untested project like this not need its own current environmental impact report? At the minimum, it should have an EIR. Please remember, the wastewater treatment plant has not worked properly since its start. The city has no funds for any future repairs or improvements, and the coastal location is absolutely wrong for the industrial use. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Stechbart, I believe, and then Jim Wagner.
Thank you. Mark Stechbart, I've got this document in front of you. I'm in opposition. I'd like to answer any questions as they occur to you. This commission is being asked to approve the first grease refinery on the west coast of the United States.
Could you state your name for the record?
Oh, Mark Stechbart.
Okay.
This commission is being asked to approve the first grease refinery on the west coast of the United States without an EIR and requiring the potential evacuation of 500 school children as young as 5 years into a Box Canyon residential area with no way out other than past the plant. Moreover, this grease refinery will be the first approved in the entire state without an EIR. The project, I believe, is a Trojan horse on cogeneration that's crafted to cover the grease refinery. Jim Wagner, a subsequent speaker, is going to explain that a paltry 5.6% of the sewer plant energy costs are going to be covered by this grease refinery as a barter lease agreement. 94.6% of the benefit of the refinery accrues to the refinery. This is a real bad deal for Pacifica. This is an under 6% deal. None of you in elective office would ever put an RFP out saying, drive the city benefit or the county benefit to under 6%. Another way, staff says 40,000 gallons of oil accrue to the project, that is a sewer plant, that's 1.3% of the refinery output. So this isn't cogen, this is a refinery, masquerading as cogen, and not a very good cogen either. The project is an unacceptable industrialization of the coastal zone. It's not coastal dependent. 22 million gallons of refinery is underway in the greater Bay Area within 8 to 40 miles of Pacifica. All chasing 11 million gallons, according to Whole Energy, of feedstock. So it's a 2-to-1 overcapacity refinery versus feedstock. So one might assume Whole Energy is going to import Minnesota virgin soybean feedstock per their March 19, 2007 CNN company's tender letter. The project is not coastal dependent, but it's Minnesota dependent. I believe they're going to bring in virgin soybean. The police emergency plan, I have to really address that. The preliminary plan I have from February, after all the approvals, said evacuation of these schools. Now, the fact that the mayor says the police chief, who works for the applicant city, said something different yesterday is facts, not in evidence before this commission or in staff report. I don't believe it for a second. And they're going to have to move out of child care, kids as young as 5. That's part of the police emergency response plan. That's unacceptable. If there was an EIR, that would never pass muster on predetermination, on coastal dependency, on alternatives, and on no project. And it was done so because the city could not get through a full EIR. Running out of time, got 2 more pages, but nonetheless, it's self-evident. An interesting project in absolutely the worst possible place. There's lots of refiners in the Bay Area, doesn't have to be here. San Francisco's going online with a 10 million gallon project 8 miles north of town. They didn't do any alternative projects that weren't 2 miles away from the site. And as we know, in coastal towns, there's not a lot of room to do a lot of stuff. And this is certainly one of them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jim Wagner. And then it looks like Todd Bray. Minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Jim Wagner. I'm a past planning commissioner of City of Pacific and also a past disaster preparedness commissioner. And I believe the applicant in the City of Pacifica would lead you to believe that this is a cogeneration facility, a true environmental win-win. I seriously, seriously disagree. This is nothing more than a commercial endeavor to build a grease refinery in the coastal zone. The lease negotiated by Whole Energy with the city is extremely top-heavy in industrial benefits, and it is not coastal-dependent. There are three methods in this lease agreement that allow the applicant to pay the city. One, 30,000 kilowatts of energy per month delivered to the city through their generator. Two, if less than 30,000 is delivered, the remaining can be made in a cash payment. The landlord, being the city, has the option, if they want to make a cash payment, that they can accept biodiesel equivalent up to the 30,000 K level. Whatever that money, that 30,000 is worth on the market, that's what they have to deliver. Nowhere in this lease agreement does it stipulate that Whole Energy will deliver 3,200 gallons of biodiesel a month to the city as rent. As the staff states on page 11 of their June 11, 2008 staff report, to commission. The staff report appears to have several errors of fact, and those need to be fixed. Basically, the applicant owes the city 30,000 kilowatts of power, one way or the other, or the equivalent. What's that mean? In the city's agenda summary reported dated January 14, 2008, it states that the current power usage of the wastewater plant is 18,000 kilowatts a day. The lease calls for 1,000 kilowatts a day, or 5.6 has been set, of the total power used to that plant. How can the applicant claim that this is a cogen facility when in reality the numbers point to a purely industrial site? I've been in the real estate finance business for almost 20 years, and this is one of the poorest written lease agreements I've ever seen. This is a coastal zone. Nothing in this proposal is coastal dependent, nothing. I've lived in Pacifica for 34 years. My kids live in Pacific. My grandkids live in Pacifica. This is the last project I would expect to see before this commission for approval in the coastal zone. It makes absolutely no sense on any level. One last point that I want to bring up that Mr. Vella had brought up. I talked to with Mr. Nannini, who's the owner of the Valero station that Mr. Vella was talking about. And there's a letter included in the handout that I gave to the commission here that states that he's not allowed to distribute this. And to put him in this report, that he has been, I believe it was positioned local service stations, absolutely false. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Todd Bray. 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Hey, this works, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Just a side question. Do you guys validate parking? I just wonder.
We'd like to. We're having trouble covering our own these days.
Okay. I want to take a moment to thank staff. For,
your name, sir?
Oh, you do validate?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Todd. Todd.
With
Bray.
Our budget, we couldn't pay for an extra parking ticket.
Todd Bray, just a resident in Pacifica. I'm not representing anybody. I'm just here for myself. I think staff has conditioned this project appropriately. I think it's basically the equivalent of an EIR that. The 16 different conditions of approval. But I'm asking the commission today to add a couple of amendments to the condition. One is for the glycerin, which I think staff's already done, and the other is to allow public comment on the 16 conditions so that we have an opportunity to review and comment on the information coming in that is required through the conditions of approval beyond just the executive director. That's pretty much all I want to say. One other thing I do want to get into just a little bit. On Wednesday, I called the plant manager, Dave Grom, because there's been quite a big brouhaha in both the city report and the Coastal Commission report about this plant diverting grease from the wastewater system stream that's affecting the plant negatively. So I wanted to get a qualitative ration, a qualitative percentage of what amount of grease is actually entering the plant compared to the amount of water, wastewater that's going in. And the equivalent of the what they call fats and oils, because they can't differentiate between restaurant grease and people who are just putting their fryer grease in the, they can't, their stud, you know, whatever computer bling, bling, bling thing happens, it can't differentiate between the 10,000 households that dump bacon grease into the line or the handful of restaurants that do. But it's the equivalent of 75 gallons a day going into the waste treatment plant. Now, the waste treatment plant in the packet handles 3 million gallons of liquid. So I divided 75 by 3 million and multiplied that number by 100 to get the percentage ratio, and it works out to be 0.0025. So that's 1/2500th of a percent. That's not a big enough number to me to rationally justify the reason that the city wanted, one of the reasons the city wanted to do this. And I think this is really worth looking at, and that's I'd ask the commission to add this particular item, this particular math, to the conditions of approval, because it's in the staff report by the city and by the commission. They make quite a big deal that this is going to help solve something, but it's less than one. It's the proverbial drop in the bucket. This is actually less than that, I think, than the proverbial drop in the bucket. There's been issues that the issue isn't the fat coming into the waste treatment plant, but sags in the line where fat congeals. But there's no guarantee that I can see that fat and grease is actually going to be stopped going into the line. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Nancy Hall. And we're not taking any more speakers.
Hi, my name is Nancy Hall, and I just quickly, before I say what I came up here to say, I strongly challenge many of the assertions that were made by the last several speakers, and I really do hope that if you have questions about some of these sort of scary assertions, that you will please ask the Director of Public, former Director of Public Works, who's here to answer those questions, and some other people, because some of them are very erroneous statements. I was born and raised in Pacifica, and in an effort to address the classic and longstanding rift in our town between, yes?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Just for fairness.
Okay.
Are you with the applicant? Are you?
I'm speaking as a citizen.
Okay.
Of Pacifica.
You're not part of the applicant or part of the city, work with the city, because we've gone through these time things, and I want to be fair to both sides.
I'm speaking as a member of the Livability Project, and I'm just a member of Pacifica resident right now.
Okay.
But I'm just saying I've been involved
in helping
with the project.
I just want to clarify.
Okay. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and Livability Project. In an effort to address this rift in our town between ecological and economic projects, I helped design the project just in terms of having the idea and bringing it to the city. The applicant has taken it from that point forward, so I'm just speaking as someone who's been advocating for the project. The City of Pacifica, with strong support from local community groups, the Livability Project and Pacificans for Sustainable Development, and the 30 or more people who belong to the local biodiesel co-op, as well as, I believe, a number of positive supportive letters that weren't mentioned in the staff report that support this project that I know were submitted, helped to design this project that's an ingenious recycling and alternative fuel production facility that interfaces elegantly with the wastewater treatment plant. The voters of Pacifica have consistently voted down development that we felt produced a negative impact on visual, habitat, traffic, and other quality of life issues. But this project was designed with our community values and needs at the forefront. It is an environmentally focused project that does not impact untouched open spaces, is almost completely hidden from view, stacks functions with an existing industrial site while creating a revenue stream for our financially strapped city and creating a commodity that would bring desired visitors to our town. Alameda County has led the way in California with the Cool Counties movement that helps counties and cities all over the state conduct carbon audits and reduce our energy footprints. Pacifica is doing its part to participate by managing our coastal assets intelligently. We have installed large solar arrays, and the peak shaving cogeneration component of this proposal will be able to produce even more clean energy. This is the kind of innovation that the future demands. The intense pressure to overdevelop the California coast can only be managed if communities such as ours are not desperate for revenues, and smaller regional energy solutions such as this are a piece of the self-sustaining puzzle. There have been many community forums that have addressed this project and invited public comment, including 8 city council meetings, a dozen or more articles in our widely circulated local newspaper, including 6 front page articles, a number of public discussions before the school board that included public comment, that also included support by the County of San Mateo, Pacifica, fire, and police chiefs.
Time is up, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. I hope Pacifica gets an opportunity to go forward with this project, and I do encourage you to ask pointed questions about assertions that were made here today. Thank you.
Okay. And with that, I'll go back to the applicant for the 3 minutes of rebuttal time.
I'll just be brief about some of them. There's some technical.
Say your name
things.
For the record. You're going to do the rebuttal time?
I'm going to take 1 minute of the rebuttal time. Is that okay?
Okay. If you're good, yes, sure.
Okay. My name is Jim Vreeland. I'm the mayor of Pacifica, and I want to be very clear. We had eight hearings, on eight public discussions on this, and we took it through a very public process. The reason why we did an addendum to the EIR is because that's what our city attorney told us to do and our outside counsel told us to do. It's on an existing 4,000 square foot pad in the industrial area, and we really think that this is groundbreaking processes to reuse this waste as part of feedstock to produce oil. So with the solar voltaics, the biodiesel, the water recycling, we're putting these packages together. So that's why we're doing this. It's an important project for the city of Pacifica to reduce our operational costs, and we're partnering with the private sector to encourage that private investment in our town. So. And the issues about safety, I've already told you, police and fire have no issues with this. This issue was brought up before the school board. There was a motion to ask for an EIR, and they couldn't get a second on the school board to ask for this. So every public body in our little jurisdiction has gone through this and has been very supportive of this project, less to 4 people who've gone to every meeting and said the same things. So I want to put that on the record.
Okay. Thank you, sir. State your name, please.
Atul Deshmani, Whole Energy. I will make a brief comment and yield the balance of my time to the distinguished gentleman from Pacifica. I just want to quickly make a comment about the stations and the marketing of the product. We have 25 stations that we currently supply. We supply allied waste in San Mateo County, and we have dozens of customers dying for this product that we'll be producing. Second thing is about biodiesel plants in general. In the United States, there's tremendous overcapacity. I'll be the first one to clarify that point. The problem is the capacity is mega plants that need mega feedstock sources, including soy from the Midwest. And we are not buying any soy feedstock. What we are buying is regional feedstocks wherever we are. And we plan to continue to do that in Pacifica.
Members of the commission, my name is Scott Holmes, and I'm currently working with Whole Energy. And a couple of rebuttal points. The amount of grease that gets to the treatment plant is not the problem. It's the amount that gets stuck in the collection system. And anything that recycles grease will reduce that problem. About half the overflows in a wastewater system are related to grease. And the other issue is, you know, obviously there's a very extremely low likelihood of a explosion or something that would close Highway 1, and this facility would provide emergency fuel for emergency equipment if Highway 1 is closed for some other reason. The cogen issue, initially it's 50, that was what was allowed by the Air Board, 50 kilowatts, but the potential to expand it up to 800 kilowatts with tremendous benefit for the city is available. And the third thing is a request in terms of the definition of biological resources. I'm extremely familiar with what is out there, and I think you can legally call it waters and wetlands as defined by the federal government.
Your time is up.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. I'll close the public hearing. I'll go back to staff for their brief response.
Yeah, thank you. There's a couple things we'd like to respond to. The city made a determination that an EIR was not required. The city's the lead agency under CEQA. It's not the commission's responsibility to determine what the city's role should have been in CEQA, and the time for challenging the CEQA determination has passed. The city's decision was to comply with CEQA by approving an addendum to an existing EIR. The commission's analysis is the functional equivalency of CEQA, and our review under the Coastal Act provides that analysis. In terms of whether or not this is an appropriate site for an industrial facility, it seems fairly clear that the commission's approval of the wastewater treatment plant itself was a decision to commit the site to industrial use. So, again, this area is not, there's no local coastal plan that's been approved for this part of Pacifica. It's a white hole. The standard of review is Chapter 3 of the Coastal Act, but the commission has previously accepted an industrial facility at the site. There have been a couple of comments about whether or not this is a coastal-dependent facility. We agree this is not a coastal-dependent facility, but we don't believe there's a Coastal Act requirement that this site be limited to a coastal-dependent facility. So we don't believe that's an applicable concern. Again, as we mentioned before, the coastal zone boundary is Highway 1. In terms of requests by the public for an ability to be involved in commenting, that's what today's hearing is for. This is the public hearing. We would also be amenable to involve any members of the public who are interested in the condition compliance measures that where additional information would be coming to us, and we'd be happy to work with the speakers today and anybody else who's interested in sharing information while we're reviewing any of the condition compliance measures. And that concludes our comments.
Director Douglas, anything
yes.
else?
Relative to the last comments that Mark made, I'm going to have to modify those and say we probably will not be able to do that because of the staff, again, staff reductions. I don't know where he thinks he's going to find the time to respond to everyone who wants to look at condition compliance measures. But so I'm going to retract that offer because we simply won't be able to do it. We'll do our best.
Well, he was just being optimistic and trying to.
He's very optimistic.
Service, you know?
Yes, I know.
The reality
That's
of
Mark.
The budget didn't it got in the way.
Right. The other point I wanted to make is relative to safety issues that were raised. Those are really primarily the responsibility of the local government, and we defer to them on those issues. So we think, as far as the Coastal Act issues are concerned, they've been addressed, and with the conditions, that's why we're recommending approval.
Thank you, Director Douglas. So with that, I'll go to Commissioner Blank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the commission approve coastal development permit application number E-07-011, subject to the conditions specified below. I'm asking for a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Blank, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. And approval of the motion will result in the adoption of the resolutions and findings and the granting of the permit. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Blank?
No.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Kinsey.
Thank you. There was one piece of the public comment that I found interesting. The person that spoke requesting that information that is being provided to our executive director be made available to the public. Some of this information relates to construction plans, some relates to the spill response plan. It doesn't seem unreasonable to me to add a condition that allows for the public to review it consistent with the city's practices.
Right. We don't need a condition. Those are documents that will be available, so that's not a problem. And when people request documents that come in response to condition compliance, they can certainly have access to them. What I was saying is,
but to your point as well, Peter, if we were to have it as a condition that the applicant shall make it available to the public prior, then you don't have to answer the phone call.
Okay.
I don't think it's a difficult request to make of the city, and I'm sure that they would be comfortable. So. You know, if I could
move item
17, a condition 17, that information required to be presented to the Coastal Commission Executive Director by conditions 1, 5, 6, 7, and 16 be simultaneously made available for public review consistent with city practices.
And we can incorporate that into our recommendations.
Is that okay with you?
Could we ask the city whether they agree?
Yes, that's what I was going to ask. Would you come up to the microphone and state your name and say that it's okay or not?
I'm Jim Vreeland, the mayor of Pacifica, and that condition will be fine. This is a very transparent public process, and we'll go overboard to make sure people have a chance to comment and provide any information they want. So, absolutely.
Fine. Thank you, sir.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to add that to my motion.
Okay.
And
thank
if
you.
The seconder...
seconder.
Okay.
What's your name? Does that satisfy you, Commissioner Kinsey?
Extremely.
That's a good idea. Good suggestion.
Mr.
Wan?
Yeah, I have one question. This is supposed to be a grease recovery system, but I heard both the applicant and someone else refer to the possibility that rather than using grease recovery, they will actually be using feedstock, that is agricultural products. Is that correct, staff? And if you don't know, then I'll ask, allow the... And it's not a question of where in the country it comes from, but whether this is actually a facility that's going to be using feedstock rather than...
Well, grease. We can ask the applicant, but... We don't see that as a Coastal Act issue, but in any event, what is the answer?
I'm Atul Deshmani, president of Whole Energy. I'm getting this right?
Yeah.
The city originally, when they did their original RFP, and when we responded to that, made it a clear point that they wanted to make sure that we were utilizing regional recycled oil. We're delighted with that as well. It's the best possible, most sustainable feedstock.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
that's
you
fine. That answers my question, because using agricultural products can create problems.
Okay. Anything else before I call for the question? Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves or hereby grants permit number E-07-011, subject to the conditions that are contained in the staff report for the proposed development.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that brings us to the North Coast agenda, and the in your addendum and your packet, you had a pink addendum to the report. You had a green addendum that had a letter from the city of Fort Bragg raising concerns about the time extension on item 8A, and we also have two permit waivers that are included in the pink addendum. We recommend that the commission concur with the determination to approve these waivers.
Any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determinations? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
That brings us to item 7, which is the consent calendar today, and we move the three items that I mentioned before to the consent calendar, so if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to address those items on the agenda, this would be the time to come forward. That's item 9A, Humboldt County Department of Public Works, and the Wiat Tribe project, and the PG&E gas replacement line.
Okay. Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the consent calendar.
Moved by Vice Chair Neely, seconded by Commissioner Schallenberger. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on the consent calendar? Hearing none, the commission agrees and concurs with the approves the consent calendar, 9B, 9C, and 10A.
Thank you. That brings us to item 8A, and this is, I think the staff report makes clear how we got into this situation. What it doesn't specify is that the staff person who actually worked on this LCP amendment resigned and moved to Minnesota, and we convinced her to still spend some time working with us to review this part-time from the distance of her new home in Minnesota. So Tiffany did... try to review the actions by the local government. It was too extensive for her to be able to finally determine whether or not there was full compliance with the commission's actions, and we simply need more time. So we're asking the commission to extend the time for the city to respond to the commission's action for up to 1 year.
Okay. Vice Chair Neely?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the commission extend the six-month time limit for the City of Fort Bragg to accept and agree to the commission's certification of the City of Fort Bragg LCP Amendment Number FTB-MAJ-1-06 with suggested modifications for a period not to exceed 1 year.
Second. Been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on the time extension? Hearing none, the commission unanimously agrees to the time extension.
All right, and Mr. Chairman, we are going to do our best to try to bring this back at the August meeting. And if we can't do that, the latest will be the September meeting in Eureka. The last item I have is the request by the Wiat tribe who had who was the applicant on the item that you just approved on the consent calendar. What happened was that they their project is entirely public grant funded. When they applied for the permit, the fee that the commission had at that time was $2,000. In the meanwhile, you increased the fees for permits before the commission. In this case, it would be $8,000. They don't have any grant funds to cover that and have requested relief from you from the filing fee. We're not recommending complete waiver of the filing fee, but we do think it's fair since this was in the pipeline and it is fully publicly funded that you reduce the fee to the $2,000 that it originally would have been from the $8,000 that the current schedule would require. So that's our recommendation, and it's up to you.
Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission direct the executive director to reduce the permit application fee for a coastal development permit number 1-08-017 pursuant to the staff recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
Second. Been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Clark. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection? Oh, before we do that, sure. Commissioner Schallenberger.
I just want to make it clear that I do support this, but that it's a very unique circumstance, and that I wouldn't want anybody to interpret that because we're taking this action in this circumstance, that it means in other cases where the fee has changed during the permit process that we are going to, that this isn't a precedent for other cases. It's a unique situation.
Thank you for pointing that out, Commissioner Schallenberger. Okay, and with that, is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this fee request, lowering it to $2,000 pursuant to the executive director and the maker and seconder's motion? Hearing no objection, the commission unanimously approves that.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, I was going to make the same comments that Commissioner Schallenberger made because, as you can imagine, we are getting more requests.
Right.
Along the same line. And there are going to be some that are going to have compelling, unique circumstances, and we will be reviewing those if we bring them forward to you. But Commissioner Schallenberger is right. This was a unique circumstance and shouldn't serve as a precedent for other requests. With that, Mr. Chairman.
One public speaker slip, and then that'll be it for the meeting, and we'll see everybody know what you're talking. One public comment, Clyde Warren. Sir, you'll be entitled up to 3 minutes. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, my name is Clyde Warren, and I just come here to ask for your help. I've been working with Jonathan Bishop from the Santa Cruz office and on a zone change that I've requested. And the problem is that he didn't have any travel funds to come look at the property. And I asked him in January, and they didn't have any funds. And then he called last week and said that he didn't get any funds this fiscal year. So I'm trying to figure out a way I can get him down there to our property here in Cambria to look at our project. And so I can work with county planning at the same time. So if you had any ideas, $100 will get him here. and I'd be willing to chip in, but I don't know if that's proper or not. But.
Director Douglas, would you like to respond to that?
I think this is another example of what's happening to people who have business before the commission and our inability to fund the work that we need to do because of budget reductions. And, I spoke about this yesterday, and you have locally elected representatives who affect the budget, and I think that you should be talking to them. And I'm saying this very openly, anybody who sees this, because it is affecting us across the board. I'll talk to Mr. Lester to see what we can do, short of actually visiting the site, and see what we can do to advance this matter for you. But it's a situation that's getting worse, and it's already been bad, and it's going to get even worse. So I will talk to Charles and see what we can do. Okay.
Thank you, sir, for coming. Thank you for bringing. And Commissioner Blaine.
I just want to be sure, Director Douglas, our next meeting is no longer in San Francisco. It's in Oceanside. Is that correct?
August is in Oceanside. Oh. That's correct. We got the city council chambers for free.
Right. Okay. Commissioner Akajian, we're going to let you have the last word today here before
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was reminded by Steve that there were four people behind the scene that helped us. There was Gary Hicklin, Sean Hendricks, Joe Jason, Bob, and Amanda Mueller, and I want to thank them. But today I received a lot of generous, kind words from you folks, and be honest, I don't deserve none of the above. The true hero behind all this generosity is the young lady, my right arm, hand, you, whatever, my hero, Vicki Jensen.
Hey, Vicki. We all join with you on that. Thank you. Thank you. And with that, we're going to adjourn.
Okay.